All right. Man, guys, in case you missed it, you just had an amazing message of the gospel sang over you, man. That's beautiful. I want to ask you a question this morning before I get started with my part. I just feel led to ask you this. It's real easy to hear a song like that and say, man, amen, he is a good father. Right? There's not many people that would read their Bible or look at their life and say, he's not a good father. But the part that we have struggles with is when we get to a song like that and it says, we are who he says we are. That you're loved and that you're treasured. That's the part sometimes that we struggle with. I want you to know this morning, even down to the last detail, I wasn't going to share this at all. Hey, Jamie's on the truck. I want you to know, my wife said this morning. We were in the kitchen this morning, cooking up a little shrimp Alfredo, cutting up tomatoes and cucumbers, and I said, we started playing some worship music. I said, I just want to remember why we're doing all these things this morning. I want you to know the food is the last part, honestly. And she said this, I've prayed over this food that every bite, listen to this. This is a good woman, I'm going to tell you this. She said, every bite that somebody takes today, they will know that Jesus loves them. It's not about us. We want you to know that there's a Father in heaven that loves you and that sent his Son to make a way for you. That's it, man. That's why we do this. And we honestly look at this as family. I want to tell you, down to the one of us, the ones that have come out here and served food and done all that, you may think, man, that's a nice thing. I want you to know, to the person, everybody that misses this, that has to miss a week, comes back and says, man, I so miss being here. We love you, and this is family. God has brought this together because he is a good, good father. I just want you to know that this morning. Amen? Amen. I just want to pray and then open up in some time in the Word this morning. Father, we thank you. Thank you for my brother Jesse. This is one of my dearest friends, my brother. And I thank you, God, just for what you allowed him to minister to me this morning, just through his words that you laid on his heart, through the story that you've given him, Father, through the brotherhood that we share. Father, I just thank you. The gospel was sang over us in such a beautiful way this morning, one of the best jobs I've ever heard him do, and it's nothing on his own. He would tell you that. But Father, you gave him a story to tell today, and Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for being a good father. Thank you for looking at us, even those of us that would say, man, not me, that you still look at us and say, my son or my daughter, because of the blood of Jesus. We thank you for that this morning. We pray all these things in that precious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning, we've been on this journey of the parables, and this morning we start a new series, if you will. We're looking at the Psalms. This is one that I've been really excited about. And honestly, when you come to this place this morning, this might seem off the cuff kind of weird, but I want to offer some culture this morning. Anybody in here a fan of poetry? Any fans of poetry at all? Maybe more so than you even know. I'm going to share some poetry with you this morning. So, John Milton. Anybody ever heard of John Milton? John Milton wrote Paradise Lost, if you've ever heard of that. I was reading through some poetry because I am a cultured son of a gun. And I want you to know this. This was just a story about the Christmas Nativity that John Milton, just a few words, composed in 1629. We are some cultured people. Here's what it says. This is the month, and this is the happy morn, wherein the Son of Heaven's eternal King, of wedded maid and virgin mother born, our great redemption from above did bring, for so the holy sages once did sing, that he our deadly forfeit should release, and with his Father work us a perpetual peace. Isn't that beautiful, man? Poetry is something else. In fact, I want to read more of a modern poet, and this is for my friend Daryl. If everybody can look over here, Daryl and Lori and their granddaughter Bailey came all the way from Florida to be here with you guys, and so thank you for being here. And Daryl, this is in your honor for more of a modern poet, Sir Paul McCartney. Blackbird singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. My favorite Beatles song, Blackbird. But man, I've got some better news. This is awesome poetry. And in fact, Milton inspired so much by the gospel in his writings. But there is a poetic song that is in the middle of your Bible. It is as if poetry is coming off the pages and singing life to you. But I want you to know, if you've never read the Psalms, it's not just a poetry of praise. It is a poetry of complaints, a poetry of psalmist from Moses to David and everywhere in between, writing complaints to God and saying, "Where are you? I feel like you've left me." Anybody ever felt like that? If we're just honest this morning, "God, where are you? I feel like you've abandoned me." The psalmist has said that same thing. And so while we come to a book like this, I want you to know that there is beauty in the praise. There's beauty in the defeat. There's beauty in the sinful remorse. There's beauty in the writer who would say, "Just create in me a clean heart because I need a new do-over here." There's beauty all in the Psalms. And so when we come to a set of scriptures like this, I want you to know that when we decided this, we really feel led by God to do this. It wasn't just turn to the middle of our Bible and see what happens. We come to a place of saying that we very well know that there are people in our midst, myself included, that may be in times of great victory, it may be in times of great defeat, or maybe in times of great in the middle, I don't know what's going on. And so the Psalms is a great place to turn. So I want to start this morning with Psalm 1. As I said, nearly half of the Psalms are attributed to King David, some to Moses, some to Solomon, some to unnamed authors, but poems of song and praise and complaints. But I want you to know there is a central character, and it is a good, good father. So that's why we sing a song like that this morning. There is a realness and a beauty and a depth that few other books of the Bible have. So enjoy as we read Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind blows and drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Will you pray with me this morning? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the eternal truth that, Father, even though written many, many years ago, still applies today and still rings true to exactly where we are today. Father, what a beautiful and just awesome morning. A cool breeze. Father, just rest from the heat. Most people in here, their college football team won yesterday. Unless you're from Louisiana, God help the people in Louisiana today. Father, you care about every detail of our life. Father, from just the things that you share with us personally, the things that you share, Father, in your word, the things that you speak to our hearts today from the Holy Spirit. So we just offer, not that you need it, you are strong enough to do so without our agreeance, but we just willingly lay down pride, religion, any thoughts of saying, "Man, I'm not good enough." We lay all that down and say, "Father, if you are a good father, and we believe you are in this place, if you're a good father, would you just have free reign in our hearts to speak through the power of your Holy Spirit today?" We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I read this, I just want to point out a couple of things this morning from Psalm chapter 1. There's two people, as far as I can tell, that the psalmist is writing and talking to God about, and it is the righteous and the wicked. There's two people that are mentioned. There's two ways that are mentioned. It is the way of righteousness or the way of wickedness. I want you to know this morning, I believe that honestly a path is laid out here. There's a beauty of this in this poem, if the song, if you will. I want to reread a part here and just tell you like this. A righteous man, I want you to hear what he's compared to. He's like a tree, if you can picture this, a beautiful, just tall, healthy tree planted by streams of water. Can you picture it? Man, me and Country talk about it as we love to fish, man. We're going to go fishing together one day. But when you think about this, you think about a beautiful scene out fishing. You think of streams of water just running. And man, I had the privilege to be in Colorado not too long ago. You guys know I missed on a Sunday. I was there. and trying to learn some stuff about being a son of God myself. And as I'm there, I got to go fly fishing. I don't know much about fly fishing, but at one point I was standing in a river in Colorado, this beautiful river just kind of rolling over my feet. I'm looking and seeing mountains in the distance, trees in the distance, a moose off there that I'm hoping, please don't charge me, you know, those kind of things. But it was beautiful. And honestly, in that moment, Country, you've been there. I said, I don't even care if I catch a fish, right? This is beautiful. And so if you can picture that, this beautiful tree that's standing there and streams of waters that are growing, and it says this tree yields its fruit in its season, and it says its leaf does not wither. I mean, these are green, beautiful leaves all year long. But it says the wicked are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away, the dust off of some kind of produce, off of wheat, off of anything. It just blows away and is gone. You see the comparison that a righteous person is someone who is planted, and it's planted in this beautiful, lush place, the green grass, the streams that are flowing. This is the way of a righteous person. Now, here's where I want to challenge you this morning. Here's where I believe we see the beauty in this passage. The first thing that we think about, honestly, when you hear the word righteous in a church gathering, you think about a long list of I got us. Anybody ever been there? You know what I'm talking about with the I got us? You say, man, for me to be a righteous person, Jesse and I were talking about this yesterday, for me to be a righteous person, I gotta, right? You fill in the blank. I don't know what your I gotta is. Maybe it's to lay a substance down. Maybe it's to read your Bible more. Maybe it's to pray more. Maybe it's to, I just need to go and pick up a serving utensil and serve. Maybe it's, I don't know, but you gotta. I want to give you the freedom this morning to understand this. I want you to look at me this morning. Everybody look this way. Everybody look at me. Here's what you have to do to be considered righteous. Not a thing. All right, one more time. Here's what you got to do to be a righteous person. You ready? Not a thing. I want to tell you the good news of the rest of the story that the psalmist obviously already knows, because he says this, that a righteous person is a blessed man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the Lord. Here's why I tell you this morning, there is good news. Not only do we have a good, good Father, we have some good news this morning. The reason that you don't have to do a thing, it's already been done. I want to tell you, man, you want to know the key to life. I mean, I don't know much, but I do know the key to life is this, that honestly, all you have to do is come to a place and say, I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. I'm lost. I'm at a place where I can't do anything and accept the fact that it's already been done for you. You want to be counted as righteous and not wicked? Don't stand on your own accord. Don't stand before him and say, I gotta. That's going to have you in the way of the wicked, because we can't offer enough. But boy, let me tell you this. If you stand before a holy God, one that is set apart, one that spoke this world into being, into existence, if you stand before him and say, Father, I'm standing before you because I know it's already been done. And I'm standing before you, as Revelation says, as one wearing a white robe that's been dipped in blood. That don't sound real white, but it's standing there and it's dipped in blood. And he looks at us and says, my son or my daughter. That's good news this morning. Amen. Here's the thing. I just want to tell you this morning. It's been done. It's already been handled. It's already been handled on your account. It's paid in full. All you have to do is come at a place of surrender and say, I'm at the end of myself. I'm at the end of my rope. Some of that's easy to do, right? I can't do it on my own. I need you. I want you to listen to me this morning. I believe this with all my heart. Jesse's going to sing a song, play over us, and continue in this idea of worship. But I want you to know this morning. I believe this with the authority of my this Bible that is in my hand. If a gunman's standing here holding the gun and asking me to you know, give this truth or you know, I can walk away from it, I'm gonna take that moment and say, on everything that I stake my life, my family's life, everything I have, I stake on this one truth. It's been paid for me. And when God looks at me, he sees past old Keith. And I'm so glad he does, because you guys don't know me like he knows me. My heart's wicked. And at that point, he doesn't look at me. He looks at me as his son. That's grace. What the word grace means is unmerited favor. Nothing I deserve. Nothing I deserved. But then when he looks at me and he looks at you, he can look at you in a way and say, my son or my daughter. That's a good, good father. Father, we thank you for this. Jesse's going to play and just continue us in a moment of worship. And Father, I pray that truth just sinks over us, that our identity is not wrapped up in the I got us. I got to do this. I got to do that. Lord, that's just religion, and that'll be just like beating our head on the wall over there. Can't do it. Can't do enough. But Father, to come to a place of surrender and say, I am totally comfortable in resting in the idea that I am a son of Almighty God. I am a daughter of Almighty God. Nothing on my accord. I can't do it. But you've already done it. You are a good, good Father. We thank you for that. Father, we love you, and I pray that each and every person here leaves today, not just with a full belly, but with a full heart, understanding that, man, Jesus, you love them. You died for them to make a way so that we could be the children of God.